3:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's all ages, so that's going to be fun and access for everybody in the family, from the elders. Like, you know, like Tandy said, there's going to be a 102-year-old veteran there being honored by Dame Dollar. So, that's going to be Saturday the 7th. And is there anything that either you want to say, DJ Clip or Tandy, before we finish up our conversation about hashtag Be There PDX?
Well, first up, man, it's always an honor and a pleasure to be able to serve the Portland hip-hop community. It's near and dear to my heart. And so I just want to say thank you for reaching out and allowing me to be a part of the situation. A big, big thank you to you, Mike, because you've done so much for the scene. My initial awareness of you, obviously, is as an artist. I've gotten to know you as so much more than that.
Thank you.
So thank you for what you've done, what you continue to do, and for having us here this evening. Appreciate you, Kat.
I just want to say the same thing. I reached out to you more than a year ago, and you instantly said you instantly invited me, and you instantly were willing to help. So really, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you both for the work that you do. Let's have a good time on the 7th.
No doubt.
Yeah, hope to see y'all there.
Come through.
Yes, please.
Thank you for tuning in to Culture in Motion with Mike Crenshaw on KBOO.FM and 90.7 FM on your dial, KBOO Portland. Peace, y'all.
Peace.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 p.m. Coming up next is The Underground. But first, this from KBOO.
This is Alyssa Pariah, your friendly neighborhood agitator, the host of The Struggle, every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. Listen to KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM, and online at KBOO.FM. The Struggle is where organizers and activists doing good in the community come to discuss their work, to get you to support them, maybe even join them. Remember The Struggle, every Friday, 7 to 8 p.m., KBOO Community Radio.
I was never cool in school. I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years, I'm still wondering who to be.
And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries. That's me. Hand me my nose ring.
Can we be happy?
Show me the mosh pit.
Can we be happy?
We can be.
My name is Virgil, and this is the KBOO Youth Collective. This month's theme is Friends and Enemies, and first up, we have a piece by yours truly about how to make enemies. Enjoy. Disclaimer, this piece was written for entertainment purposes only. Do not follow the instructions given under any circumstances. The author is not responsible for any damage to you or your emotional state in the event that you do follow them. Attention everybody! The time has finally come! Have you ever received a sarcastic birthday card that was received with sincerity? Have your malicious pranks ever been interpreted as all in good fun? Well, boy oh boy, do I have news for you, because your days of fretting over the perfect sabotage are long gone. Today, for the first time ever, I will be presenting you with an easy step-by-step guide on how to make enemies. That's right, you heard correct. For the first time ever, filling hearts with pure uncontrollable rage has never been simpler. The first step is choosing your battles wisely. While your little sister's young bodybuilding boyfriend may not be the best choice when looking for a fight, that crazy lady next door with an unknowable amount of cats will surely do the trick. Here are a few things to keep in mind before making your decision. First off, you want to make sure there isn't too big of a difference in size or strength. You want to, as they say, pick on someone your own size. Make sure it's going to be an even match, or if you're feeling extra devious, you could give yourself the upper hand. The next thing to keep in mind is intelligence. While this is somewhat harder to gauge, just make sure that whoever you choose isn't obviously more intelligent than you. Another thing to consider is making sure you're both on the same page in terms of what you're looking for in the relationship. If you're looking to ruin somebody's life, make sure they aren't thinking this is going to be more of a casual thing, and vice versa. If you're looking for some good, clean fist fights, you don't want your opponent framing you for murder, liquidating all of your assets, and then fleeing the country. Now that's just sad. The last and most important aspect in finding an enemy is picking someone who genuinely pisses you off. Don't pick somebody just because they're an easy target, that's all kinds of messed up. That lady who hit you with her shopping cart in the store and then yelled at you for not paying attention? That makes a good enemy. Your neighbor who sends you passive-aggressive texts about parking too close to her lawn? You're already halfway there! Don't start entirely from scratch, because that's just making it all the harder for you. You're trying to make their life miserable, not yours. The next step is to make the first move. It's never advisable to pull out all of the stops right off the bat, so you want to start out with something relatively simple, especially on the off chance that they don't reciprocate. One common rookie mistake is beginning with violence. While approaching somebody and slapping them in the face is certainly guaranteed to piss them off, it's more likely to end in a restraining order for you than anything else, and there's no fun in that. Instead, you want to start out somewhat small, as a good hate-hate relationship always starts with a slow burn. And if you're following this guide, the person you've selected may already harbor some less than positive feelings for you. Try passive-aggressively commenting on one of their outfits, or stealing their parking space at work and refusing to apologize. These are just a few surefire ways to make sure that they always have bad feelings in mind when they think of you. It doesn't have to be that exactly, just simply find ways to be impolite or an inconvenience to them, and if they seem to be trying at getting you back, if they seem to be dealing with it like a mature, well-balanced person, screw that. You can do better. If they seem to be dealing with it like a mature, well-balanced person, however, screw that, you can do better. Once you have your enemy ship going, it's crucial that you keep stoking the flames at all times. Even a couple of days without a move made could totally ruin it. With that in mind, it's very important to make sure you keep this slow burn thing going. Making smaller moves that gradually increase in intensity as the relationship progresses is your best bet for making sure that nobody gets burned out or caught off guard. However, once the relationship has progressed, there's no stopping you from going all out. Steal their wife, burn their house down, fill their bathroom with angry hornets, go nuts! But most importantly, stay safe, stay healthy, and make sure everyone is as miserable as possible. This has been Virgil for the Cable Youth Collective.
Next up, we have a piece by Mika on Bonnie and Clyde.
Hi, my name is Mika Tomizawa, and today I will be talking about the infamous criminal pair known as Bonnie and Clyde. So first of all, according to FBI.gov, Bonnie met Clyde when she was already married to a murderer who was imprisoned. Clyde, at the time, was 21, and soon after the two met, he was arrested for burglary. He then allegedly tried to escape prison using a gun given to him by Bonnie, but was ultimately sent back to prison, so his attempt was a failure. 2 years after the pair had met, Clyde was paroled and immediately joined back up with Bonnie to resume their illegal lifestyle during the Great Depression era. Bonnie and Clyde spent their lives together committing 13 murders and numerous burglaries as well as many other crimes. They were known to have murdered and kidnapped many sheriffs and officers. Now I'm going to talk about some really interesting aspect of Bonnie and Clyde's life. According to history.com, Clyde tried to join the Navy, but was rejected due to medical reasons. It was said that he was still showing signs of a lingering illness, and therefore they did not want him on the Navy. This was really heartbreaking for Clyde because he had already gotten a tattoo labeled USN representing US Navy. Also according to history.com, Bonnie was excellent at creative writing and was a poet throughout her life, even as a criminal. 2 weeks before Bonnie and Clyde were killed, she wrote a poem called The Trail's End, which predicted her fate. This poem ended with the lines, and I'll read it for you. Someday they'll go down together, and they'll bury them side by side. To a few it'll be grief, to the law a relief, but it's death for Bonnie and Clyde. I think that the way this poem talks so blatantly about death is really interesting considering the fact that their death is so soon in their future. Sadly, although Bonnie and Clyde wanted to be buried together, as said in the poem, they were actually split up and buried in entirely separate cemeteries. This is because Bonnie's mother really wanted their bodies apart, as she had disapproved of Bonnie's relationship with Clyde. But I am getting ahead of myself by talking about their cemetery situation, so I'm going to wrap up my little lesson about Bonnie and Clyde by talking about how they died. Bonnie and Clyde were shot to death by a police ambush as they were trying to get away in a stolen car. When the car chase had finally ended, Bonnie and Clyde were dead, and the stolen car had 167 bullet holes. Allegedly, Bonnie had been hit by 53 bullets and Clyde had been hit by 51 bullets. And this is because the ambush really needed to make sure that this pair was actually dead and not going to keep doing harm to society. So there you have it. I just gave you some facts about Bonnie and Clyde and their story. So I really hope that you learned something new. And this has been Mika from KBOO.
Thank you, Mika. And next up, we have the song You're My Best Friend by the band Queen. Enjoy. Thank you, Freddie Mercury. Next up, we have an interview being conducted by Thomas, and I will let him take it from here.
Hey, Underground, this is Thomas, and I'm here with members of Sail to Change. I'm with Ashley, Dieter, and Nakoa. Could you guys introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Ashley. I am the outreach coordinator for Sail to Change. We are a local nonprofit organization who takes youth of Portland out into the wilderness and teaches them how to sail, and we also do mentorship. My job in the organization is to find the participants, all you young people out there.
I'm Dieter, and I'm the founder of Sail to Change. And I've been sailing since 1995, and so I want to open that up to other people as well, to our young friends, and make sure that they have a chance to learn how to sail and also how to become familiar with the wilderness and be able to survive.
Okay, awesome. What about you?
I'm Nakoa. I go to Cleveland High School, and I was a part of the pilot group for Sail to Change.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Well, it's nice to meet you guys. So this is a question I think that's best for you, Dieter. So how did the program start, and why did you decide to make this program? Like, what was the need you were trying to fill?
Well, fortunately, I had the time and the means to be able to do to put this together and get it started. And for a long time, it was a dream of mine to do something for people who would have a very would have very little chance to do something like that. And as a sailor, I believe that a sailboat is really a fantastic environment for anybody to learn a lot of different skills. And wilderness, I grew up in a forest, and so forest is really fantastic to learn as well. So that was really the reason why I wanted to do that and just make it possible and affordable to people.
Okay, awesome. And Ashley, how about you? How did you get involved in this program, and why did you join?
So I was working jobs that I didn't like so much, and I talked to one of my really good friends, Katie, who had been working for Dieter. It was at a Friendsgiving Thanksgiving party thing, and I was talking to her, and she's like, oh, I have the perfect thing that you would be interested in, something that's actually meaningful. And so Dieter just happened to have an open position, and he liked me for the job, and so here I am.
Okay, mm-hmm. Awesome. And how about you, Nakoa? How did you get involved?
Well, during my lunch period, Sail to Change came to my school, and they gave a presentation about what they were going to do. So, like, they told us about the wilderness survival and the sailing, and they gave us, like, little flyer thingies. I took it home. I was interested, and my mom just signed me up, and that was that.
And it's history from there, yeah? Okay. So something in the conversation we had before is, like, you guys want to build personal skills for people and personal growth. What are some of the tools you help give people that need these tools for growth?
Well, I believe that once you're able to steer a boat and you sail with the wind and you learn how to do that, once you're out in the wilderness and you learn skills and tricks on how to survive and how to deal with the environment, which is completely different from what you're used to, it builds self-confidence. It helps you to really understand a lot more, and you are able to change your attitude about a lot of things, like teamwork. You're working with other people, right? And so very often, like in the wilderness, you help each other, and you have to learn to trust each other. So those are very important skills.
Right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I find it great that you guys are trying to promote that kind of thing with this program. So where do you guys usually go for the trips? Like you mentioned the wilderness survival. Whereabouts do you go for that?
So this year was our pilot program. It was the first time that we've ever been able to bring participants out and do this. And we went into the Willamette National Forest and Deschutes National Forest. So it was in between Eugene and Bend, and really beautiful out there. There's all kinds of alpine lakes up in there. So the first 4 days of the wilderness section was actually camping in a campground to kind of ease everyone into it. And that was at Odell Lake. And then from there, we dropped them off at the Pacific Crest Trailhead near Odell Lake there. And Nakoa, do you want to tell them where all you went after that?
We walked along the Pacific Crest Trail. And I think the first place we went was the Rosary Lakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Three Rosary Lakes. And then we went to Bobby Lake after that. That place was filled with mosquitoes.
That's then, not fun.
Then we went to Crescent.
Mm-hmm, Crescent yeah. Lake. And Waldo Lake, Waldo. Too. Yeah.
That was like the last half of it.
But you hiked over 40 miles.
Yeah.
Or 50. I don't know. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
What was your favorite lake of those that you went to?
Oh, it was probably definitely Waldo.
Yeah.
It's like so clear.
Awesome.
You can see everything like straight through the water.
That's awesome. I love when you can see that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long year-long program, as you guys mentioned. So what do you guys plan to do if it's rainy or cold or something? Is that just a way to build more character and help you get going through the wilderness? Or do you have ways that you might change the program to accommodate for that?
So I mean, I am going to plan some hikes out in the wintertime. I'm not afraid, and I think it can be fun that way. But yeah, we have things like snowshoeing in mind and rock climbing indoors. We've already had an event with Planet Granite, which they gave us free, like a free session there for the day, which was really awesome of them. So yeah, I mean, we have some ideas up our sleeves, but we're also not afraid to get outside, and you know, it's really windy in the wintertime too, so maybe some sailing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Definitely sailing, yes.
And it's definitely in Oregon, you're not going to be able to get away from the rain, so you got to get used to it when you're here.
Yeah. Yeah, you just take it as it comes. It's okay.
Yeah, we'll find some sunny days in there.
Yeah. So and where do you go sailing? Is it just on the river, or do you guys go out to sea as well? Or?
Mostly sailing will be done on the Columbia River, and we're working with Island Sailing Club, and I have been a member there for many, many years. Okay. And it's a beautiful place to go sailing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a gorgeous area.
But also the Willamette River, like the sailing part of the program where the boys learned how to sail was at Willamette Sailing Club. Yep. And so they got to explore all up and down the river there.
So what are some of the highlights of this year that you guys had? Like what's each of yours highlight of this year so far?
Mine was this group circle thing that happened at camp. We had some instructors from Colorado that some of them went to Naropa University and have wilderness therapy degrees, and so they were really good at bringing out some of the more touchy-feely things out of the kids. And we had one night where everyone stood in a circle, and you could step in and say something that was kind of explaining yourself in a way. But it was really beautiful because several kids talked about their depression and problems at home and just, you know, feeling different and all kinds of different things that were like really true to their heart. And if one person stepped in and you agreed with that, like that thing was happening to you or you were that, you stepped in. And there were some where, you know, over half the circle was stepped in together.
So definitely a way to help build community and get these people to actually understand each other and trust each other, yeah?
Yeah, correct. Definitely. Okay.
What about you, Dieter? What was your highlight of this year?
Well, my highlight, obviously as the founder, I'm looking for, are we meeting our goals, right?
And
one of the goals was to learn. And, excuse me, we definitely learned an incredible amount from our students and from the guides and all the participants, really. And it just showed us what we need to do differently next year. And it just gives us a really a compass and a guide how to move forward.
Okay, awesome. And how about you? What was your highlight of this year, Nicola?
Probably making a lot of new friends during the trip. 'Cause before we left, we barely knew each other's names. And then by the end of it, we had made a group chat for everybody.
And you made more friendships that probably last for a while, yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome, yeah. That probably would be my favorite part of that. So what do you guys plan to do to expand for next year? what's your plan for a year from now, 2 years from now, and so on?
Well, a year from now, we want to do exactly the same thing as we did this year, just with more students, and we want to broaden it to
have girls and gender non-binary people.
And boys. And so we want to really broaden that a little bit more.
Okay.
And again, our goal is to learn more from them and really fine-tune it so that we can slowly go into the following or into the 3-year program.
Okay. So now about the wanting to get more people into the program and to expand it, what kind of people are you looking for this program? Is it the kind of people that have to have specialized knowledge in this a little bit, or just anyone that has interest in it? Like, who do you want in this program?
So specifically right now we're looking for students, people that are in ninth grade, and that's just because of how the program will grow. We want to follow you as you go through high school. We are looking for people that may not have access to some of these opportunities. Like, we want to offer this to kids whose parents are not buying them fancy sailing lessons and all of that.
So you definitely want it to be a place where people who aren't as fortunate enough to be able to have the more expensive trainings and stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I just have a couple last things to touch on here before we end here. So you're having a movie screening on October 14th at the Clinton Street Theater. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, so we are teaming up with the Clinton Street Theater. They are showing the movie Brazil, which is rated R, just so you all know, young people. we are doing this thing where you can come see the movie. There's no admission, but you donate money, and that money goes to us, Sail to Change. And so it's a way for us to fundraise and just get the word out about what we're doing. And you can come see the movie and dress up in Halloween stuff and say hi to us and all of that.
Awesome. Sounds fun. So where's somewhere we can get a hold of you? If it's online at your website or social media, where can we find you?
Yeah, so our Facebook and Instagram name is Sail to Change, and that is S-A-I-L, like sailing, the number 2, change, all one word, and then our website is sailtochange.org.
Okay, awesome. And is there anything else you guys want to mention that I forgot to mention here?
No. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. It was so great talking to you, and I'm really happy to see that you are getting people into this this new area. So thank you guys.
Yeah, we're really excited. We love KBOO, and yeah, please look us up so you can tell more people about us. We want to get, you know, young people involved, but also we're always looking for people to join our team as volunteers or more. So
awesome. Yeah, look into us. That's sail2change.org?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Anyways, thank you, Ashley.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dieter, and thank you, Nicola.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas, and thank you, Sail to Change. That was a fascinating interview. Next up, we have another installment in the Chelsea series, written and created by Luna.
This is Luna with this month's theme of Friends and Enemies. This is an installment in my ongoing series. All events and characters are purely fictional, and all advice is purely terrible. Enjoy!
Hello, hello, one and all listening in. This is your host, Chelsea Marlowe, coming to you live from my cozy little studio outside the city. This is my usual little advice column. I am here for your thoughts and worries, lovely listeners. Gables out getting coffee with my favorite, I mean equally appreciated to all my listeners who I love very much, listener, Carl. I've told Gable to bring his portable radio and listen to the show with Carl, but I'm not sure it'll happen. He's fussy at me at the moment. Something about lack of regard for human life and talking too close to the microphone. Well, if you're listening, Gable, I hope you can move past the sound of my close-up breathing to feel guilty for your rudeness. Also, hi, Carl. Well, I do have a show to run, with or without certain people listening. And the first email is from an anonymous person, and they say, Dear Chelsea, how do you make friends? Oh, I know so many people with that problem. Seems no matter what universe I contact, this question comes up. Well, darlings, you're in luck. I've got some answers for you. I've been all over. I've got friends in every reality. I'd consider all my devoted listeners my friends. Yes, the death count's a little high, satisfaction rate very low, but we all take risks letting people into our lives. And I'm very, very good at dragging people into my life. Anyway, you do want an answer, I assume. Well, the first part of making friends is to scope out your targets. Find the people near you who you'd be compatible with. Some people say you should share base morals with your friends, but I think that's a B-grade worry. The first thing you think is, will this person be able to help me out? You see, having someone bail you out of a hard situation is very important. As someone who has caused many a situation, Gable has been a great friend to me and taken the blame. Because of him, I can run the station wherever I'd like. Even areas that there are orders to kill him on sight. And Gable wasn't the one to start the fires or undo the existence of shrimp. He was just very conveniently able to leave the station and get blamed. Once you've narrowed the list down to people who can take the blame for your actions, you have to become friends with them. Now, what you do to start off with is small talk. I know what you're going to say. Small talk is hard, Chelsea. I thought you were supposed to help me, not make my life harder. Now, first of all, I don't know where you got that idea. The lion is here for your thoughts and worries, not here to fix your thoughts and worries. But really, lovelies, small talk is important. That's how you draw potential friends in before trapping them. So make sure you think very hard about how you say things. When bringing up the weather, hint your expertise in cooking, or hosting radio shows, or quickly loading firearms. Make yourself seem impressive however you can. And if you have any flaws, bury them deep under your persona until it's too late for your new friends to leave. I got lucky personally, and I got to skip the step with Gable. The station chose him, so he couldn't leave if he tried. Sadly, you likely don't own a sentient radio station, so you'll need to do things the old-fashioned way. Now, once you have a friend, how do you keep them? Well, humans are easily bored creatures. No human will ever be pleased with what they have. This can also apply to anything intelligent and sentient. Vampires, dolphins, sentient robots. I can't remember what realities I'm broadcasting to right now. If there are sentient robots here, just know that you're just as needy and picky as humans, and your superiority complex is useless. Sentience is a burden. But this burden can be alleviated by constantly changing things. This will keep friendships fresh and keep your friends from leaving you. I know most of you can't move between realities like me, but you can do the next best thing. Get you and your friends involved in something dangerous. Start a cult together, plan a murder, join a dance team, become amateur detectives, anything that leads to a lot of people planning your brutal killing. Nothing keeps things fresh and brings people together like danger. Have young adult novels taught us nothing? Why do you think I've gotten so close with Gable? We're never without someone trying to hunt us down. And because of that, we're inseparable. Now you see, Anonymous, friendship may seem complicated, but it's really quite simple. And remember, if nothing else works out, you always have me. Alright, next question. Oh, live call. One moment. Hello, Chelsea speaking.
Did you actually just...
Gable, mister, I'm on air right now.
I know, I was listening.
You were? Oh, perfect. Did you like it?
No, I didn't. I didn't even want to listen, but Carl insisted.
Is he here? Hello, Carl.
Hey, Chelsea.
Don't encourage her, please.
Gable, are you still mad about our little argument earlier?
Little argument? You said that murder cannibalism is, I quote, something everyone should experiment with.
Well, I do.
And that's insane. And honestly, I'm not even mad about that anymore. I was having a nice time with Carl when you started telling the radio that you and I are friends.
And?
And we're not friends, Chelsea. Not only can you seemingly not differentiate friends and victims, you think I'd consider you a friend? You're an annoying, morally corrupt coworker at best. At worst, I'm still not sure you aren't a figment of the station itself built to eternally torment me and keep me prisoner.
Well, I could say the same thing. Maybe you're part of the station, and you're here to take up airtime with your stupid music.
My country station really comparable to your arson and kidnapping record?
Yes, Gable!
You're incorrigible, completely and utterly. Look, just stop telling everybody that we're friends. And maybe look up the dictionary definition of friend.
Well, that could have gone better, huh? I suppose you may not want to take my advice this episode. Or maybe flip things around. Use it as a way to make enemies. Boom! Episode saved, darlings. You now have a wealth of information on something you didn't ask for. Cable's off cavorting with Carl without me, so he won't be on next with his show. So enjoy some 10 to 20 minutes of dead air until he gets back. I'm gonna go reevaluate a few life choices and get some rest. Until next time, stay lively, listeners, and stay alive.
Thank you, Luna. I am always, for one, so interested in the next installment of Chelsea's adventures is a word for them. Next up, we have a song, Old Friends, from the musical Merrily We Roll Along.
Here's to us. Who's like us? Damn few.
you say, old friend? Are we or are we unique? Time goes by, everything else keeps changing. You and I, we get continued next week. Most friends fade, or they don't make the grade. New ones are quickly made, and in a pinch, sure, they'll do. But us, old friend, what's to discuss? Old friend, here's to us. Who's like us? Damn few.
So, old friend, fill me in slow. Old friend, start from hello. Old friend, I want the when, where, and how. Old friends do tend to become old habit. Never knew how much I missed you till now.
Most friends fade, or they don't make the grade. New ones are quickly made, some of them worth something too. But us old friends, what's to discuss? Old friends, tell you something. Good friends point out your lies, whereas old friends live and let live.
Good friends like and advise, whereas old friends love and forgive.
And old friends let you go your own way.
Help you find your own way.
Let you off when you're wrong.
If you're wrong.
When you're wrong.
Right or wrong, the point is old friends shouldn't care if you're wrong.
Should, but not for too long.
What's too long?
If you're wrong.
When you're wrong.
The thing is, old friends do leave their brands on you, but old friends shouldn't compete.
Old friends don't make demands on you.
Should make demands on you.
Well, don't make demands you can't meet.
Well, what's the point of demands you can meet?
Well, there's a time for demands, whether you meet them or not.
You got right out the first 1 minute. Hey, old friends, how do we stay? Old friends, who is to say? Old friends, how will old friendship survive? One day chums having a laugh a minute. One day comes and they're a part of your lives. New friends pour through the revolving door. Maybe there's one that's more. If you find one, that'll do. But us old friends, what's to discuss? Old friends, here's to us. Who's like us? Two old friends, fewer won't do. Old friends, gotta have two old friends helping you balance along. One upbraids you for your faults and fancies.
One persuades you
that the other one's wrong.
Most friends fade, or they don't make the grade. New ones are quickly made, perfect as long as they're new. But us old friends, what's to discuss? Old friends, here's to us. Who's like us? Damn few.
That was Old Friends from the musical Merrily We Roll Along by Stephen Sondheim. Next up, we have a piece by Thomas.
Ignorance is the enemy of democracy. So often, our society is quick to judge without knowing the full story. In fact, if you went online right now, you would see piles and piles of both misinformation and disinformation, and because of that, people pass final judgment without knowing the full story. Not only that, but sometimes people even get the wrong narrative put into their minds, and furthermore, many stories aren't even brought to us because they don't fit the agenda of the sources we trust for information. First, I want to get the whole story out there, so let's put a political ideology aside for now and focus just on the facts. People are entitled to their own opinions, philosophies, and speech. The problem here is that these opinions, philosophies, and speech get rooted in people's minds and become their own facts beyond change. Once you repeat something enough, it becomes true, whether it's factual or not. This is a key point of ignorance. For example, many hate groups, such as the white supremacy movement, the men's right movement, and other extremist groups are based off of ignorance. Members of these groups believe in their supremacy or superiority, and they claim they're inferior. Now, why is that? My personal thought is that this comes from ignorance towards the groups that the hate movements marginalize, whether it's a racist, sexist, anti-Semitic, political, or any other kind of group. Humans follow an us-versus-them mentality. When someone divides themselves from other people based on superficial things such as race, religion, sex, or dozens of other things, they're limiting themselves by ignoring opposing views. Instead of drawing opinions on what you feel is true based on half the story, think critically. Ask yourselves, and others, why? This critical thinking is going to help us all work together, and it's going to stop division. The highest form of ignorance is when you reject something you don't know anything about. And now this leads us to disinformation. Disinformation is a method of propaganda, and this is when someone spreads false information in order to spread a narrative. Examples of this would be North Korea's 10 principles for the establishment of a monolithic ideological system. While its name's a mouthful, it can be summarized by being called the personality cult that has been built for the Kim family, which controls North Korea. This kind of disinformation started as a method of propaganda to rally the people to love Kim Il-sung, the former leader of North Korea. But then, legends and rumors spread. This led to the near godlike idolization of the Kim family, not only by themselves, but also by the population. The thing is, this isn't only something used in foreign nations. It's used in our own country, too. For example, the controversy about former President Barack Obama's birth certificate and him potentially not being a naturalized citizen, which would have thus made him unable to be president. One thing that these conspiracy theorists fail to mention is that even if he was born out of the nation, his mother is an American-born citizen, which passes on citizenship to her children by default. That is disinformation. And now, the part that I personally find most dangerous in the long term, not being told the untold stories. Like I said before, the agencies we trust to provide us information, which by definition is based on objective truths and facts, they have their own agendas to press on us. What does this mean? This means that bias is everywhere, whether it's political leaning or not. For example, the Flint water crisis is still going on. Thousands of people are being subject to potential lead poisoning, but there's little to no public calls for help anymore. And that's just on the home front. There's more terrible, horrible violations going on that no one knows about. In Myanmar, there's an ethnic cleansing of a Muslim minority, the Rohingya. These people are being attacked, abused, and forced to flee by their own government. This is creating a huge refugee crisis, but no one knows about it. And this is because the narrative our country is passing is that Muslim is a bad word. Speaking of which, there's another terrible crisis going on. In Xinjiang, an eastern province in China, the Uyghur Muslims, an ethnic minority, are being detained, tracked with QR codes on the doorsteps of their own homes, forced to eat pork and drink alcohol, which is against their beliefs, and in some circumstances, there have been forced disappearances. Not to mention, there is little to no freedom of expression for these people. Women aren't able to wear their headscarves, and men aren't allowed to have unnecessary long beards. And why is nobody speaking about this crisis? Aside from the Islamophobia, it's also due to China's Belt and Road Initiative. This is a multi-billion dollar investment initiative by the PRC towards 152 other nations to strengthen trade infrastructure. Nobody is speaking out about this tragedy because every nation wants a slice of the pie. Now, I'm totally aware of the potentially divisive language I'm using in this piece, but there's one thing we need to keep in mind. Instead of focusing on what others should or shouldn't do, why don't we focus on what we can do? One of the most important things we could do to help solve these crises is be outraged. We need to give a voice to the people who aren't given one. So, I hope this piece made you think. Tonight, tomorrow, and even further than that, I challenge you, friends. Don't become a mere recorder of facts, but try to penetrate the mystery of their origin. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Very informative. Next up... Sorry, Thomas is also in the studio with me right now, right over my shoulder, so...
Hi. Next is Blood and Thunder by Mastodon.
They can't hear you, Thomas. Next is Blood and Thunder by Mastodon. That was Blood and Thunder by Mastodon. Next up, we have episode 5 of the Interhaven Weekly Informer, written and produced by yours truly. Good evening, friends and enemies, and welcome to the Interhaven Weekly Informer. Today's broadcast is brought to you by UniversiCorp. In the hopes of promoting the Community Service Association's newly updated travel program, today I'll be interviewing one of their own community representatives, a part-time rep who hails from Aldergate. It's time to give an intrigued welcome to Calwyn Sherty. We're ecstatic to have you, Calwyn.
Thanks.
Could you tell us a little bit about the CSA's new and improved travel program for anyone who might not have heard about it in our last episode?
Sure. The program is designed to help the people of Interhaven satiate their curiosity for places outside of their home. New and improved travel guides are now available, not only in our own CSA offices, but also in the offices of our sister associations in Direfall, Redemption, and Aldergate. We also made a deal to send some out to Verdict Point, although I don't believe they have an equivalent to the CSA. The borderlands that mark the edges of the wilds have been lined with security cameras. All trains between Interhaven, Direfall, and Aldergate now run an hour late on weekends. We're doing our best to make travel more accessible.
How kind. What about you, Calwyn? You live here in Interhaven, but you were raised in Aldergate, and you run a train line through Redemption and Direfall. Is that correct?
Yes, I've been all over the Unificates.
And could you tell us a little bit about what it's like in our sister cities?
Well, as you said, Aldergate is where I was born and raised, so it's got a special place in my heart, but Interhaven is my home. There's a different vibe here, for sure. The difference in population definitely has something to do with it. There are about 6,500 people in Aldergate and 4,000 in Direfall, and I believe Redemption has about 2,500. Compare that with the 12,000 that Interhaven has, and you know that any country kid's head is spinning when they come here. Stepping off the train for the first time was like stepping into a dream.
Some of our citizens travel to Direfall fairly regularly, as it is within commuting distance, if one is not a coward. It's our closest sister city, both literally and emotionally. Perhaps you could tell our listeners a little bit about Redemption, seeing as that's the farthest stop along your half-moon circuit.
With pleasure. Redemption is the second smallest Unificate, right after Verdict Point. Redeemer's Lake is one of the main draws, although there's plenty of charm to the town, even if you don't enjoy boating.
This is Broadcast 4, code number 7510582, the Hopeful Loyalists. Good evening, friends and enemies, and welcome to the best episode of this godforsaken program that you'll ever experience. I've got time on my side for once, and I'd like to use it to clear some things up. First of all, I don't know the full extent of the drivel that you chuckleheads are spoon-fed, but your precarious society was born of lies. There are supposed to be animals, and trees, and sky, and rivers, and sun, and you don't even know. You don't know, and you don't even know that you don't know, and it breaks my heart. What do you know about the before? Examine what you've been told. Hunt down any resources you can find. I know that books are heavily regulated, and it might have even gotten worse since I left, but if you can think of a way to get anything, any remnants of the before, old pamphlets, magazines, newspapers, hunt them down. Keep them safe. Spread the word. I'd like to introduce you to an associate of mine, so you know that it's not just me out here, sitting in a hole in an expansive forest, babbling into a microphone. I'd like to, but I can't. Not this time. For my voice to be on air at all is a huge risk. Vocal recognition is the basis of some of the oldest, most tried and true methods that the Bureau has. I can't tell you my name either, but for things to have power, they need to have names. So in the interest of spreading the word more efficiently, you can call me Kyle. It's a name from the before. Let's talk about crows. The only animals besides Bureau-regulated pets found outside of zoos. Do you know why? No, you don't. They don't want you to. There used to be other birds. The pigeons you see at the zoo in their cages? They used to roam like crows. The other animals, deer, raccoons, possums, they were all free. They belonged to themselves. The mythical animals from fairy tales and storybooks? Elephants, tigers, giraffes? All real, once. The Bureau killed them. Or whatever came before the Bureau did. But they were real. They were real, and they didn't live behind glass. They're all gone now. They're never coming back. The Bureau wants clean streets and clear heads. It's in the CSA's manifesto. They killed everything they could get their hands on. Even the rats. Did you know that rats used to be everywhere? I do mean everywhere. There were only 5 left in the zoo when I escaped. I don't know how many are left now. The crows refused to die. I don't know why. No one does. But for some reason, the Bureau can't get rid of them. There's even a crow call on record. I remember it vaguely. I was a kid. We didn't see any on the street for a month, maybe longer. But they came back. Just a few at first. Then more and more, until they flocked in the square, fighting over crumbs. They came back. They always do. That's why the crow is the loyalist insignia. Kill as many of us as you like. We always come back. I don't know what created the Bureau, how it was founded.
The hopeful loyalists are working on it, but by spreading information like this, hijacking broadcasts, it means we can't make raids anymore. One of the other sects, the distorted loyalists, they've been managing raids, and we've been compiling information jointly, but it's slow going. There's not much to work with. If there is a doubt in your mind, an uncertainty to your gut, act on it. Join us. Before security tightens again, before the gates are closed permanently, before the train lines are shut down. Don't think they won't do it. Don't put anything past them.
Citizens,
you can have your broadcast back when I say you can have your broadcast back.
The Bureau would like to apologize.
What did they say about the sun?
How much did you hear?
I don't know.
How much did you hear?
Remember, safety and sanity are illusions as long as you're within the borders of the Unified Territories. If you want a crow insignia like the one that I wear on my lapel, you know how to get to us.
If you are hearing this pre-recorded message, it means that something went a little wonky with our regularly scheduled broadcast. Somewhere, somehow, someone messed up just a little bit. Remain calm. They are being fired as we speak. As we work to get our program back on track, please enjoy the following promo.
Here at our happy family at UniversiCorp, we're excited to announce a new opportunity that shall greet those less fortunate souls dwelling in the Unificates. UniversiCorp is offering an all transportation expense paid permanent internship in the scenic, booming industrial metropolis of Direfall. Come and witness the beautiful architecture, sprawling caverns, and magnificent gem-studded walls of the Direfall mine shafts. Find inspiration in the treasure-studded walls of the caverns that power our great and magnificent cities. And the best part, this program serves as an excellent, permanent entry point to the wide world of UniversiCorp. 10 out of 10 applicants were unable to lodge any complaints. And it can be universally agreed that it is a fantastic way to begin your climb up the corporate ladder, or as we love to refer to it here at UniversiCorp, the family ladder. Interhaven Weekly Informer was created by Maeve Z in association with Ryan Opiala Young and is written and hosted by Maeve Z. Cullen is voiced by Seven Self and Kyle is voiced by Virgil Geff. The voice of UniversiCorp is James Rain.
Thanks for listening to The Underground. The Underground is hosted every fourth Wednesday by the KBOO Youth Collective. We meet every Wednesday at KBOO at 6 p.m. to plan our show. If you're interested in getting involved, come on down or call our youth advocate, Aaron Yankee, at 503-231-8032, extension 221, or email youth at kboo.org. We also do a music show, Youth Randomonium, which airs the second Friday of every month from 8 to 10 p.m. We're always looking for music by anyone under 21 of any style, and check out our website, kboo.fm/theunderground or kboo.fm/youth. Next up is Hard Knock Radio. Thanks for listening.
Cable Comedia Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Stephen Marley, Babylon by Bus Tour on Friday, August 30th at 8 p.m. at the Roseland Theater in Portland. The second son of Bob and Rita Marley, eight-time Grammy-winning musician and producer Stephen Marley, will perform in Portland with DJ Sasha Pena, who will be opening the show. Again, that's Stephen Marley, Babylon by Bus Tour, on Friday, August 30th at 8 p.m. at the Roseland Theater, 8 Northwest 6th Avenue in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Project Northwest on Friday, September 6th at 10 p.m. at the Atlantis Lounge inside Mississippi Pizza in Portland. Project Northwest is a local zine that helps promote local hip-hop and R&B artists with an emphasis on showcasing artists that identify as Black and POC, LGBTQIA+, women, and artists who experience disabilities. Again, that's Project Northwest on Friday, September 6th at 10 p.m. at the Atlantis Lounge inside Mississippi Pizza, 3552 North Mississippi in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being a part of our amazing community. Please join us this year at Mic to the People, our annual election meeting. Do you want to help steer KBOO in a positive direction this fall? Plan on attending the annual election meeting, Mic to the People, September 14th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater and make your voice heard. Cast your vote by 1 p.m. at the event and enjoy refreshments and live entertainment with local musicians West Coast Black Bear and Izzy BM. Hear a report back from your board of directors and get to know this year's candidates. Record your fondest memories of KBOO in a minute or less at the Mic to the People booth. This is an all-ages and disability-affirmative event. Again, that's the annual election meeting, Mic to the People, Saturday, September 14th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater,